Today is October the 8th. Today is a special board meeting of the Lakeland Housing Authority. The time is now 6 p.m.
Everyone says get it. Once you say get it, you know we are right there. We always say get it.
No, man, just, I feel good already.
How you doing, man?
Yes, sir. Good. How you been?
Good.
You've
been busy, man, you know.
Oh, yeah. I retired in March and hadn't stopped working since.
Probably busier now than you were.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'm paying the cleaners. You go back again Sunday, right? Man, I stopped the last day of March, my daughter put me to work.
Every Sunday, we need a report.
Wow, can we finish the date? No, today. Come on.
Not today.
No video. It's just audio, right?
I understand the purpose of it. It was that important.
Regulation height?
You said, what's the regulation on height? I said, nobody taller than me.
You play football?
Okay.
Nope. Basketball?
I played some. I did track.
I think my daughter's taller than me.
She's taller than you, too.
Yes, she is. And she makes sure I know that every day.
And so is my grandson, although I can lie to him. No, you're not.
Oh, boy.
All right. She tells me every day she's taller than me.
It's funny.
You don't want that to forget, huh? All right. I guess we're ready. What time is it?
This is on?
It's there.
It's going? Okay.
It's on.
6 o'clock? 6 o'clock. We're going to commence with our special board meeting. Yep. That will never get their attention. All right, October 8, 2015, is 6 o'clock. Please join us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Recognize a moment of silence, please. Thank you. We do have a quorum. Everyone except Commissioner Smith is here. Did everyone get a chance to review the agenda?
Before you do that, Commissioner Duncan, don't forget, this is a public meeting, just a minor oversight. Make sure you ask for a public comment at the right place, I think.
They didn't even put it on here.
No, okay. The right place.
All right.
We'll make it right after the meeting.
No problem. Everyone get a chance to review the agenda? I will. Everyone got a chance to review the agenda? Okay, and any questions? Is the agenda okay? Want to approve it?
I make a motion we accept the agenda as written. Second. With the addition.
Second motion.
With the addition
of public. The public.
Public.
Four. Second.
Okay.
Commissioner Pittman-Tell.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessari.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders.
Aye.
And Commissioner Robinson.
Aye.
Okay. Agenda has been approved. Now we're up to item, we'll call it item 1.5, public forum. Anyone wish to speak at the public forum? Anyone signed up, Brenda?
No, sir.
Okay, then we're up to item number 2, approval of resolution 15-1417.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you all were qualified, we knew we were going to be submitting various funding applications for the Westlake Community Redevelopment. And we wasn't sure when we would be submitting it because we wasn't sure when we were going to actually make the tax credit application process available, because they kept moving it back. And so that's one reason we got this request for this special board meeting, because the application is due on October 13th.
Oh, goodness.
And so we wanted to get approval to submit the application in time enough for us to put the application together and, you know, be able to review it and the like. And probably run up to the last minute to get it submitted. And we have our developer partner here, Mr. Brian Finney with HTG. He's going to give you all an overview of the project application and the like. And then we'll entertain questions.
Okay. Go ahead, thank you.
Good evening. Again, it's Brian Finney with the Housing Trust Group. If I may, I'd like to just put these boards up so we can refer back to them. Yeah, yes, ma'am. What you're referring to. Again, I'm with the Housing Trust Group. We're providing out a letter that I sent to the executive director that talks about the project, gives you some conceptual design or some conceptual sketch layout, land use.
That's what was emailed to you all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the only difference is that the performer, you all have some updated information.
Okay.
And this is by no means final. Okay.
This is the updated performance. Just to rehash it again, we're looking at a senior building. We're looking at 100 units. The building will contain approximately 36,000 square feet, and it'll be estimated aggregate footage will be 100,000 square feet, three stories. It'll be a three-story structure, two elevators, 50 parking spaces. That's the code for senior buildings of this size. The property will be leased from the Housing Authority. It will always be your property. We are leasing it in an entity that we will totally control, but it will be your property. It will be built on approximately 3 acres. 10 buildings will be demolished. 29 units will be displaced in order to make room for the project. Relocation will be required. In our budget, we do have money for relocation. And the property will be managed by the Lakeland Housing Authority. Where we stand right now, our application is due on the 15th. These applications are very difficult. They've got to be precise, and we spent to date about $40,000 in various studies to make sure that we are where we need to be. And I do apologize. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the special meeting. And we do appreciate it. We realize how difficult that is, and it's your time, so we do appreciate that. And I'd like to apologize for having to have a special meeting, but I promise the board and staff that we would try to find a way to access dollars through various sources. We had decided that the best way for us to submit an application that was less competitive was to do what we call a sale act. However, just before we engaged with staff to pursue the sale act, we realized that your project-based vouchers, if they were available, did not generate the revenues enough to leverage a sale application. So we had to go back into the shed, redo our model, and come up with an alternative financing source. We've identified that alternative financing source. It is more competitive, but we believe that there's money allocated for medium counties, folks in medium county, and I think that we have a good shot at being successful. But again, it depends how many applications submitted and where we stand in the process. one of the issues, believe it or not, that has really been difficult for us to resolve is that you have a street, a road, going through the middle of the complex, and in fact, going through the middle of our site. But no one knows the name of the road. The city is not quite sure it's a city street. And we have to resolve it because the accuracy of your application will be judged, and the land use issue is the first thing that your competitors will look at. As of today at 3 o'clock, I believe we resolved that issue. The city is going to give us a letter indicating, saying that as per the county's property appraisal map, that your site is one contiguous site, therefore there are no legally named streets in the middle of the site, therefore application can move forward happily ever after. The pro forma that you have will change, but and I believe after input from your staff for the better, the change is that we are going 50-50, 51 bedrooms, 52 bedrooms. We are making some adjustments. I was very conservative on my real estate tax estimates. We've adjusted down the real estate tax estimates, but we're still going to pay real estate taxes, but we adjusted it down. I was very conservative with my impact fees. They're going to stay the same, but I'd rather, as I talked to the director, I'd rather submit a conservative application and have to go down than have to go up. And we'll talk about project-based options later, ACC units later. That's something that's going to happen post-approval. I think we have a good application. I know we have a good application.
And just to point out, too, that this is not a copy of the application. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's electronic and the numbers are constantly changing. And so you all won't see the application until after it's submitted. Okay? Just want to make sure that that's understood.
And what will happen, I'm going to get to that application. What has happened is that I'm driving back to home base tomorrow. So when I get in the office tomorrow, I'm going to finalize the first major draft of the application. Then on Saturday, we go through what we call a red team and blue team process. On Saturday, the red team will take a look at the application, and their goal is to tear up the application. Let me know where I made mistakes. I don't make mistakes. but they'll try to find a way. And one issue that's going to come up, and I'll be honest with you, just like inside stuff, they don't know that I'm going to have the letter from the city about the scattered site. So somebody's sharpening a nod right now saying, I got him. But in the meeting, I'll pull it out right now. That's just an inside joke. That's something we do. they'll tear it up, and then I'll have a blue team on Monday, which will look at the critique, make sure that my team has made the changes to address those, what was critiqued, and then we'll get that application ready to go to be shipped out. So we're going to go through we're going to go through a process, and we're pretty good at it. And we disliked each other for a week, but a week later we're okay with each other.
Brian, just for the record, the alternative source you identified was 9% tax credit.
Yes, right?
Okay, just want to make sure it's on the record.
We were eligible for the 9% tax credits from a senior standpoint. Yeah, we couldn't do family. If the vouchers, if the Florida housing rental rates were just a little bit higher. We just missed the window on sale. I did everything I possibly could to make us eligible for sale, but I did not want to cannibalize my estimate of cost. Because God knows I don't want to build something and then find out that we don't have enough money to run it. So we were very conservative with that. I was too conservative, but I'd rather go down and up.
And want to also say that this is the first phase. There's probably going to be at least two other phases of development and financing applications. Okay. And in the cover letter, we had a schedule in there. And like if you go to page 2 of that, the last paragraph.
Can I ask him something here just said before we move on? You said because of the interest rate, we're not doing founded. What did you say about that?
Well, not the interest rate.
In this phase,
we are doing families, but for this round of funding, you look at that's a good point. May I back into that? If you notice here that there's phase 1 and phase 2, all right? most people would say, okay, you're going to do phase one first and then phase two second. But we made a determination that phase two would go first because the funding that was available made the project eligible for funding. So although we have these plans in phase one and phase two, we have to implement according to what funds are available. Mm-hmm. So right now, what's available and what is the priority from the state of Florida's perspective are senior deals in medium counties. Yeah. Next year, family deals will be the priority.
Yeah.
So we adjust according to availability funds.
And y'all recall that I already said that we have what we want to do with our wish list, but the Florida Housing Finance Corporation, we issued tax credits, they will determine the number of units and the type of units by the amount of tax credit they make available. And so that's what occurred here. We would prefer that the multifamily mm-hmm. have been the first phase, mm-hmm. but because of the terms that Florida Housing Finance Corporation put out, it's more advantageous for us to go with the elderly, but that's our best chance to get funded.
Okay. Okay. I apologize. Did we ask you a question?
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry. Answer your question.
Yes, you did. And one more before. And of course, it's relative in that you can't start the next phase until you finish the first phase. How long would you think it's going to take to finish the first phase?
That's not necessarily true. And that's why I said, like on that last paragraph on page two. Mm-hmm. You'll see that the approval will occur in December of this year. But then they got to do design and permit approvals. So the closing won't occur until December of next year.
Okay.
And you have to do the final closing before you can start construction. Mm-hmm. Okay. And while we're waiting, doing this particular closing here, mm-hmm. next year in 2016, hopefully in like August or September, there'll be another round of funds. Okay. And we will be submitting another application at that time. Okay. So that you can actually have two phases out of construction at the same time.
So theoretically. But
there are two separate deals.
Right.
Even though it's one project, but it's like phases.
So theoretically, you're going to move everyone out of there?
No. I didn't say that. Well, yes, eventually, yes, but not at one time. Okay, because we have to have so many public housing units in our inventory in order to keep our standing with HUD and get subsidy. But that's we're going to do a phased relocation.
Okay.
Okay, and the first phase is going to be those 29 units where this put that they call this phase one. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we're going to have plenty of meetings with the residents. We had one last night because I told them, I said, y'all start hearing rumors. And we don't want nobody to think they got to move before Christmas. Right? Everybody knows that. Enjoy your Christmas.
The day after.
Don't do the things going to happen.
That's a joke.
Yeah. It may not be a joke.
Yeah.
We had that same situation when they moved the people out of the house at across the street from Coleman Bush Building years ago. They were moving out during Christmas time, during holidays, people packing up.
I'm going to tell you a big difference between that last time and this time.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You got new administration.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've done it before. That was our first time trying it. Mm-hmm. You know, we said that the first time trying it. We think we got a lot of control. Done it here. Yeah, well, I've done it in South Pleasant, in Florida.
If I may, if you're finished, Commissioner. Mm-hmm. Brian, since this is this board's, I think, first time at the rodeo, the kind of process for the 9%, you talked about the first part where you have to have the application spot on to get on the playing field. Mm-hmm. You want to talk a little bit about what happens after you get on the playing field, or you don't want to go on the
Okay, what I will do.
And before you do that, just let me add one other thing, and then finish up with this. And you'll see it's a 14-month construction schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's going to be like 2018. Before mm-hmm. people start moving in to the new stuff, okay?
To respond to your question, let me talk about a project I'm doing right now. That last year at this time, I won a 9% tax credit allocation for a project in Belvay, Florida. It's a rehab of 144 units, and I think it's really good that we talk about this. because the award was last January. And the process is you get awarded, you go through a process, you get a good lottery number. We were deemed number one. And then people get to challenge you. The Lord was very good because in that particular county, which is Palm Beach County.
And when you say people, you talk about fellow developers, or fellow applicants.
That can come in with a lot smaller bid, a lower bid.
No, no. Each applicant gets reviewed the application of their competitors and make comments. Too far out of the finance corporation.
They get to tear it apart like your red and blue team.
Right. Red and blue.
My exactly. Red and blue team. Right. They do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might liken it to when you go to the fair and you got the little guns where you can shoot down the little things to win a prize. Well, once they get to be the lead dog, they can try to shoot them.
Right. You're the target then.
Yes. We were lucky.
And which fair was that?
Well, I won a bunch of stuff, so I mean, apparently you didn't go to that.
So there's a process where if you get the award, bing, 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 my competitors get this to shoot. We were lucky last year because of the first five projects approved. My projects were number one, three, number one, two, and four. So the only person who could shoot at me was basically me. That was easy. God was good.
Because you didn't shoot.
Yeah. And to give you an example, a really true example, is like, say, which I'm sure Tom from our staff will verify this. You know, we say Lakeland Housing Authority. Mm-hmm. That's not our official name. Hawthorne City of Lakeland is not our official name. Our official name is the Housing Authority of the City of Lakeland. Mm-hmm. And if we don't put that on the application, you lose points. You lose points. And if you got it, like say on page one, but then on page 35, you don't have that, you lose points. That's how competitive the process is. I'm sorry. Okay.
And then one other thing to add to that, the same thing about you have a perfect application. Mm-hmm. Now you got to deal with the lottery system. I've got another client last year in their county, came in number two, perfect score, everything, but they only funded one. Mm. So that closed, no prize. I'm sorry.
That was the question I was going to ask. From historical data, generally how many slots do they have open? And I mean, I know you don't know how many in this pool, but
I can tell you. One or maybe two.
One or maybe two. And how many competitive bids do we on average from historical data?
It's all the median counties. I couldn't tell you. I can tell you Miami-Dade. In Palm Beach County last year, there were 11 applications for one from one lottery ball. In Miami-Dade County last year, there were 130 applications for two lottery balls.
Yeah.
So,
give you a better idea. Some housing authorities, you know, their partners submit like three or four applications so that they can get one funded. It's a very competitive process.
Yeah, that's what I was.
But that's the nature of the beast, and you have to compete.
We got money on the table, so people don't compete after.
So, let's say we get a lottery ball. Let's say we don't get challenged, right? But we're in the medium county pool. Mm-hmm. Well, no, let me go back to mine. I didn't get challenged. I got a lottery ball, but I'm in the Palm Beach County pool. There were lawsuits in large counties that had nothing to do with me. But my project could not move forward until all the lawsuits had been resolved. So I have a $21 million project not being challenged, waiting until the lawsuits from the large counties throughout the state have been resolved. The lawsuits are basically challenges. People have been challenging each other to lawsuits.
And they do it every year.
Yeah.
They do multiple lawsuits every year. Right.
But now, a year later, I'm still here waiting. Now, I expect to be brought to Florida Housing, where are we now? September, October. In November, I expect to be, the board has approved my award in May of this year. In November, I expect to be given a right to go to underwriting, which is a good thing. So basically, you submit your documents in and say, I want to close in December. So hopefully that's going to happen. Bringing it back to Lakeland, if we get awarded, what's going to affect the process is lawsuits, challenges, and then you sit and wait. Now, what's also interesting is Florida Housing, I guess rightfully so, they have to pace themselves. So it's not like the private sector where the deals come in, you book them, and you pay to get them out. So they've got their own processes as well. So it takes a while to get to where you have to go. And that's why it's very important to stay engaged in the game and keep on putting in applications, because eventually it's going to hit. And then once you start the cycle, then all of a sudden it becomes easier because you're closing one deal while you bring in another one through. And that's the implementation strategy we have for Lakeland, which is let's get one in and then begin. Let's get lucky, hit one, and then just keep on going.
I'm sort of naive at this stuff. What is the general...
So am I.
No, you sound very knowledgeable. How much timeline did they usually give us for these applications? I hear it was pushed back from what Ben said at his opening statements. But is it usually this short of timeline they give us to make us rush like this? Or no, I'm just wondering.
Here's my own... This is Brian Finney's personal opinion.
Brian, make sure you don't tell me you're asking. I thought you were asking about why it was brought to the board in such a short time.
Such a rush in a short period. And I'm just wondering, you know, are you only giving 2 weeks notice? Are you giving 6 months notice? Are you giving
generally,
3 months notice?
Generally, it's 30 days. Generally, it's 30 days. Okay. They give you a draft application, and then one day you go to the computer and you say, okay, the final's being released today, and you've got to give back in 30 days. Right. Now, most affordable housing developers are not like market rate housing developers. We don't make $15 million on a deal. So we are very conservative in how we spend our money.
I understand.
And we don't spend our money until we know we have a reason to spend money. So an application usually costs about $50,000. Right. Part $25,000, we got to put up a $25,000 cash deposit. Once they say that the application is due by a certain date, that's when we start paying our consultants. Because right now, you know, if you're an architect or you're doing a surveyor, it's not right for a small business for me to say, do that, and when the application starts, I'll pay you. So I want to be able to say to my investors that I'm going to spend your money, and the reason why I'm going to spend your money is because we have an application due in 30 days.
Okay. I'm just trying. I didn't know what the time. We knew September 15th that we're going to entertain the idea of our application.
But like I said, it's a moving target because of what happens with Florida Housing Finance. They dictate the time of those who have gold make the rule. Mm-hmm. And the day that we found out the application was due was the day that you all got the request for the special meeting. And so it's not, we don't cover how much money is involved. You know,
I'm just trying to understand the process just because. I know there's usually timelines. I usually know there is timelines.
They give you, like, say, an annual calendar.
Yeah.
But it changes.
Yeah, I knew you said that. That's why I was trying to ask that question, because you said that in opening statements.
It's incredibly complicated. The analogy I would make is, to be quite frankly, that this is the first deal that we've done together. This is our first marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's phase two and phase three. What we learn from each other, because we basically kind of merged two corporations. We had an NDA that we had to get done. We had a ground lease we had to get done. There were a lot of things that we had to do on our side to prepare us for this point in time. Moving forward in the future, we don't have to renegotiate a ground, an NDA. You know who we are. So the things that took time before, the second time around will not take time, in addition to us not knowing when they're going to release the application. This is very complicated.
I'll take responsibility for me not understanding this, because this is the first one I've been through. And I just try to understand the timelines and how things work. Because we are going to be turning in multiple, it sounds like, applications.
Well, on this one, we're turning in one.
But in the future, we'll correct, be, yes.
But it's once a year. Yeah. It's only once a year.
Once a year. Okay.
But I think you should add what you're missing, and I think this will help bring some clarity to Commissioner DeCesare, is that initially you were trying to do a non-competitive application with 4% bonds that does not have a deadline. They couldn't make the deal work. So the next one that fit in was this one that came up, 9%, and the application's due October 15th.
Make the numbers work. And the 4% is a lot. There's no competition, but
it requires more money. It's a bond.
The gap is larger. Yeah. You got to fill
the difference
with money. The 9%.
Well, that's what he was saying. He couldn't make the numbers work with the 4%.
Shortens, if I remember.
Yeah. And again, I walked in and I've done it before, and I'm like, I got this. It's no problem. And all of a sudden, I peel back that onion. Whoa! Wait a minute. The numbers are slow. And one of the problems that we do have to talk about is the Florida housing rent schedules just make it very difficult to do deals here.
Correct.
That's the idea.
Yeah. Truly, my question was only informational, just because I'm trying to understand it, because it sounds like we're going to be doing some in the future.
To make it even more clear for you, when he was talking about following the Finance Corporation rent schedules, that's just tax credit rent. They don't care about public housing rents.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, we as a house builder, we care about public housing
correct.
Rents.
Exactly.
So we have to merge those together as well.
And I just want to add one more layer to that, because the game may change 12 months.
They did what?
The game.
The rules may change 12 months ago. I have my own opinion about what that means.
I don't know. I think
thought you said change the mushroom ago.
In 12 months. That's been the way it's been.
I got a number of questions because I'm green also. Florida Housing Finance Corporation, are you connected with the state of Florida in any way?
He's not.
Applications will go to the state of Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. The name of your corporation, you're not connected with.
Totally
the state.
Private sector.
No. Okay. He is connected with the state of Florida because they incorporate in the state of Florida. But Florida Housing Finance Corporation.
I'm not a state
agent. He's not a state agent.
Okay.
That's the partnership that we're forming in the narrative for the resolution. You said we had to form these two legal entities. You have to form a partnership that merges Housing Trust Group and the Housing Authority. And it has to be organized in the state of Florida.
Registered in the state of Florida, okay. Secretary of State, probably.
But the Florida Housing Finance Corporation, it used to be called DC. I forget what it's called now. What's it called?
DCA,
what
Department of Community Affairs.
What are they called now? Are they still in Community Affairs? Or what are they called?
Are you talking about... The old HRS that used to be?
No,
used to be,
Department of Community Affairs.
Yeah.
DCA.
Department of Children and Families?
No.
No.
DCA.
Department of Community Affairs.
Community Affairs, okay.
Yeah. I thought they had changed the name, but Florida Finance Corporation was like under them. Okay, but that's separate from like the Juvenile Justice, Department of Revenue, and all of that. So.
Okay. Commissioner Hall, if it weren't a conflict, we would wish that his brother worked for but that would be a conflict.
Actually, my wife was assistant secretary of DJJ, actually.
Oh, okay.
But she's no longer, so it's not a conflict. There was a face somewhere.
Right? Okay, make sure you use the right place to disclose it if it is.
We're in the sunshine. Yeah.
Yes, sir, but I'm totally in the private sector.
No, you're good.
Okay. It sounds like it's a little bit of a shell game here because we're getting... If we're putting in for a bid for things and we have people that are picking it all apart and they're calling, doing lawsuits and that, depending on the number of lawsuits, how long of a time period are we talking about?
Well, let's put it this way. If we get the number one lottery ball, we will spend up to $200,000 to fight our position.
Okay, but are we talking a month, a year?
It's going to be at least a year, Eddie. Okay. Before we actually,
it's part of the business. Right.
But the more that we do this, and the more lawsuits that are in there, it could spread out longer than a year.
But that's the nature of the beast. That's the way it is, and it's not just because you know how hard it's in it.
You have
millions of dollars at stake here.
Yeah.
So people are going to do what they got to do to try and get their piece of the pie. That's why they have your competitors try to take apart because they know that staff may just, they may miss something. Mm-hmm. But a competitor go like, And this is true.
Yeah.
They left out a comma right here. You should have deducted a point for that. And that one point can cause you to be in or out of the funding range. And that one point can cost you several million dollars.
That's why I wanted to highlight something you just asked, though, because you mentioned it, and it could might be good to have some clarity. You mentioned it in your other deal, the one where you have the number one, and you're sitting. Because he's in the catbird seat, that doesn't mean that even though he's stalled, that the project pieces of what you need to do to move the project forward can't still happen.
Absolutely correct.
It doesn't mean you got to go like this and wait for the losses.
That's good, because it concerns me that we got families out here that are needing a place to live. We're stretching all this out.
We're not stretching it out.
Well, not us, but I'm saying the whole game is because of people.
That's the nature
all about money. And that's not... That's just,
well, sir,
well, that's what it is.
We're not asking anybody to relocate until we get all our finances confirmed.
Hold on. See, and that's the point I was going to make. That's an important point to make, because one of the reasons that it stretched out so long, because there's a lot of things that have to fall into place. And I'm sure Mr. Sergio can attest to this. Whenever you deal with government, there's a lot of red tape. Okay? Because before we can start construction, we got to get the disposition of that property approved by HUD. That's minimum 6 months. Minimum 6 months. Then we also got to do a relocation plan. Okay, that's also got to be approved by HUD. And so it's a lot of, that gives you time to get all your other things in order. And stuff. So, because that's why we all tell people that, you know, you don't just apply this week and you get the tax credit next week and then you just start construction. No. It's a process over several years. And that's just the reality of doing this. And that's any community development project. Even with non-competitive ones where you say you're getting funds directly from HUD. Like say with the Williamstown project. We've been on that for how long?
Okay.
And we still got some ways to go before we actually start construction. We want to start doing the first quarter of next year. I think we will, but that's just let you know, it just takes time, no matter what.
And since we're on the public record, the Lakeland Housing Authority likes red tape, and also the shell game means that we're looking for the pearl under the shell.
Rick, may I add as far as
I got
as
a red shirt on, I'm good.
Paul was trying to address risk, and I think it's important for the commissioners to understand that the developer would not be recommending that we go after tax credit applications if they didn't feel really confident about this deal, because the way the MDA is written, they're the ones taking the risk. They don't get refunded their pre-development costs until we go to a closing. So if they're willing to put $50,000 into this application, it's because they're pretty confident that this is a good application and that can stand the due diligence of different developers going after it. Otherwise, they would have said, okay, we thought we could do 4% bonds, it didn't work. We looked at the next cycle that was coming up for medium counties. It happens to be one October 15th, but we still don't feel comfortable to put our $50,000 in because there's some things in the RFA, which is the request for applications, that we don't think this Westlake redevelopment would scores well, so they would have made the recommendation that the housing authority sit out and wait for the next RFA to come out in 2016. But they didn't do that. They said, let us.
Which is exactly what happened with another, with the Sanford Housing Authority. The developer said, we're not ready. We're not ready for this 9% round. We need to sit out and wait for the next go round. And they're not spent, because they want to spend their money, as you keep talking about, where they think they have the best opportunity, so that was a good
thing. Right. So they're spending their money and they're coming to you to say, please give us the authorization to this resolution to allow us to submit on your behalf, but they're the ones at risk financially because they're out of that money until they go to close.
So the 2018 may not even be realistic. It could be even 2019, 2020.
That's one point.
If you got enough lawsuits or red tape.
We have no control of that issue.
And also,
the only thing we can't control is the design process.
Yeah,
right.
And I understand. And if we don't do it now, you got to wait a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Push
your timeline.
After another year, folk got to wait to get out. Okay.
So I'm after hearing all that, I'm happy. I think you're doing a great job. One more thing.
Your staff is challenging.
As far as this thing, I heard you mention senior housing.
Yes,
but I didn't hear anything about disabled housing.
And I'm glad you raised that. With the state of Florida, there are, and I always get this, I can't pronounce this right, but there are always regulations about design of housing and universal access, especially when it comes to seniors. There will be a set aside, I believe it's 10% of the apartments. All the apartments will have universal access, all of them, but there's certain projects where, you know, on doors we'll have lookout points lower, cabinets will be lower, kitchen facilities will be reachable. There, and forgive me for not being articulate, but there, it goes into the design that will have universal access.
So it'll be ADA compliant.
Yeah. ADA compliant, yes.
That's for the lawyers, I'll show you
now.
That's
going to be absolutely. So 10% is how many?
10.
Ten
ADA compliant, but 100% is universal.
Yeah, and by that, Eddie, when he said universal, he's talking about what's called handicap adaptable.
Yeah, okay.
So that when a person who has a disability moves in, they can adapt the unit to accommodate them.
Yeah. Okay.
And all disabilities don't have wheelchairs or stuff
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
There's disabilities with other.
Right. Yeah, you have visual and hearing and
yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You have to have
where they don't need the low countertops.
Right.
They just ain't normal, but they need.
Well, and also, too, like say to a person visually impaired, they have like special lighting and stuff in those rooms and that type of thing. So there's a lot of disabilities that you have to address.
So have you looked at other funding from any other sources for this project for disabled units, anything?
We are going, there's going to be another application coming up in 2016, which will be an application for homeless / disabled. There is a pool of money coming down now. I'm taking a look at that, and I need to talk to staff to see if we have an appetite.
We got homeless in this city,
especially needs housing.
That's right.
You know, but it's kind of one thing that I am going to do. I'm working with a group of I'm doing a project in Overtown. I'm thinking about it. It's going to be about 54 units, and it's going to be half occupied by seniors, and the other half will be occupied by young ladies who are aging out of foster care, who are then in school or having jobs, and try to get that intergenerational thing going on. And that is eligible for this homeless/disabled dollars that are coming down now, and I'm taking a look at that. I think that's a great opportunity.
Yeah, and that's what the major reason. There's some reasons why we get a developer partner, but the major reason is because they're experts at finding funds.
Can I take that and give it to my wife? You see what you called me.
So if we fail at this attempt.
You would
wait the year, or would you possibly reentertain to crunch the numbers for the poor percent?
For 9%, generally you get one bite at the apple during the year. What Florida Housing does from time to time is they have some special needs. Okay, I can tell you what Florida Housing is going to do next year. This is my opinion. Florida Housing is tired of playing traffic cops in communities about which deal gets funded. So they're going to go to the local municipalities, and they're going to say, you tell us what your priorities are. And then when we look to fund, we'll look at funding your priorities. And in Palm Beach, what Palm Beach County did this year was usually there's a thing called local government contributions that you need one to apply for 9%. Palm Beach County came out this year and said, usually we'd give them to everybody. So if it was 11 applications going in, we know only one is going to get funded, so we'll give you all the local contributions, because we know on exposure is only one, because only one's going to fund it. What Palm Beach County did this year is they said, we're only giving out three. So now all of a sudden, only three people can apply for funding in Palm Beach County. So we're going to see that trend moving in the future. So our ability to stay closer to the local municipality and articulate that, you know, we should be one of your priorities may bode well for us in the future. So that's something I think we need to look at. They're doing it in Miami-Dade County. They're going to do it in Palm Beach. And so that's where it's going to go. And if it goes in that direction, it'll be a little bit more political, but it may make sense because now all of a sudden it's not a mathematical game of who's got the best underwriting. It's also a combination of the math of affordable housing financing linked to planners who plan out initiatives with local municipalities. That's bringing the planning together with the financing, and it just might work. Maybe an efficient way to do it. That's my thought. I think that's the direction we're heading.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, then let's start. We have a motion to accept Resolution 15-1417.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept and approve Resolution 15-1417.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Commissioner DeCesare. Roll call.
Question.
Any questions?
Yes, question. I know you were saying earlier that we would not see the application until after it has been submitted. But in the application, the question is, would you approve or would you look at seriously or would you bring it back to the board some kind of conversation as to where all these people will be moved to and how long we expect them to be?
That's separate? Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said he was part of the... I thought you were saying that that's part of... He has come up with a plan as to relocation.
No, we have to do relocation part of our demolition application. They have it in their budget to pay for it, but we have to actually submit a relocation demolition plan to HUD. And as far as reviewing the application, we are reviewing it. It'll be up to the ninth hour staff.
Staff and the attorneys.
Right.
And I would just like to note, staff did point out that we have it in our budget to pay for.
That's a separate. Because it's gonna be separate thing that's on a parallel track with all the HUD pools and stuff like that. And how it's gonna happen those. And so there's gonna be other public projects that go through all the relocation all the way. So you have plenty of time to ask questions.
Okay. Roll call.
Wait a minute. Was that
sufficient? More questions?
Well, yes, as long as we're not voting on that part.
No, it's, yeah.
Okay, so we're not, it's okay.
Because, see, if we don't get the application not successful,
we're not going to relocate until we get to that. We've got to get approved first, and then that's when it kicks in.
The question was that part of the application? Right.
No, and we don't plan on submitting for a demolition disposition application until we know that we're in a competitive process to get tax credits.
Because what they do after you submit your application, they give you some preliminary scores and preliminary rankings, and that's all the lawsuits start. And depending upon where we come out with that preliminary ranking, we'll know whether or not we got a chance of being awarded tax.
Will you notify us of the rankings when you find out? Or?
Yeah, it's probably not.
No, I mean, that doesn't mean you'll notify us or. Oh, yeah. I mean, we're not going to search it.
We're not going to keep it a secret.
I mean, just ask. I don't mean it that way, but once you
you're part of the team.
No, once you find out about it, just, I mean,
let us know.
Yeah, keep us updated as the progress.
It'll be in the board report.
Okay, that's cool.
I promise you, if we get to number one lottery ball, I will be at the next meeting here.
That loud shout you're here.
With donuts and coffee.
Yeah, you can bring something in there, maybe. A basket of fruit or something.
Donuts and coffee, whatever.
That will be a cause of celebration.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Roll call.
Commissioner
Payne McHale.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner
Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCesare.
Aye.
Commissioner
Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders.
Aye.
Commissioner Robbins.
Aye.
Okay. Resolution
15-1417
passes.
Thank you very much.
Please
pray for application.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, go ahead. We do have one item that's not on the agenda. We need staff is requesting that we have a regular board meeting not on the 20th, but on the 27th, because we have two resolutions that we have to present to the board that they can't wait until the November board meeting because of the deadlines that are involved. And those two resolutions are...
Well, one is in relation to Williamstown because we have the replacement housing factor funds that have to be obligated by October 29th of this month. We did submit an extension request to HUD, but we still haven't received it. So we want to be in a position to award a contract to make sure we don't lose those funds and have to return it. And that's the need to actually have a board meeting. But the issue is we put the invitations out for bid. We got seven bids back. One of the respondents wasn't responsive because they did not submit a bid bond as required. We're still performing due diligence with the architect on the 6th. We determined that there were some qualifications that some of the bidders put in their bids, which require us to ask for a final offer and give that information, qualifications to all the bidders to make sure we have the lowest bid and the most responsive bid. So that's the reason why we need to have it on the 27th to get through that process to make sure that the award is made to the most responsive respondent.
What was the date you were asking?
27th.
It's on a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
Yes, okay. At 6. At 6 p.m. if that works for you.
What's that?
6 p.m.
Oh, yeah. No. Because I thought you said Monday. Monday wouldn't have worked, but the 27th works. For me, anyhow.
It's fine. Stimulus Tuesday at the movie theater, though, on Tuesday.
No.
That's not what I can afford, yeah.
Is it really? Yeah. Well, that's
$3 movies. All I can afford.
Okay. That's seven, fine. Seven resolution
titles. Just looks technical.
For 27.
Do you want to?
Next week, we end that.
No, they can't. We don't have one next week.
No.
No,
it's just 27. We're asking if you can move that one to the 27th. 27th. Okay. Because really, we thought that this would just be the one, for the month, but we found out that we need a couple of other
ones. That's going to be 6 o'clock. Okay.
Yes, p.m.
You know what? I'm sorry, but you're going to have to bring coffee and donuts for that meeting.
Okay.
That's it.
I have an agreement with that.
Hey, pizza or donut?
Pizza.
No pizza. I have an ulcer.
No pizza?
I hear half and half.
Yeah, Brooklyn pizza. You can have the donuts.
Bring the rest of us pizza.
Vegetarian pizza?
No, meat.
I don't care what kind it is.
Or chicken wings.
It's pizza. I don't care.
That's right. That's right.
That's on Tuesday.
That's on the 27th. Can you make
it? 6 p.m.
He can make it.
Half a dozen donuts from Pimentel.
Okay.
He makes it seem like I'm going to the cookie monster for donuts.
You get those fresh Krispy Kreme. They're addictive.
Oh, that put me in a diabetic coma. My daughter said I over-exaggerate that. Those things are so sweet. You can just forget it.
But if they're hot and fresh, though, they just like out of
your
house. That's right.
You are.
What was the second
one? 1 hour from 6 to 7, cent, probably.
That's been put you on.
Well, you didn't bring a lot of pizza. You're going to pay us at 7 o'clock. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, before we even go on, I move that we adjourn.
What's the second amendment? You said there were two of them.
We got to vote on the change. We
just got to agree on
that. Agree on.
We did the 27.
Oh, yeah.
Recertification.
Yeah, extending the contract for another year. For the recertification for Section 8.
Okay, so two amendments.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Just send us all the information in the pre-packets.
We will.
And I'll get the pizza and the donuts.
And the pizza, the donuts, and the coffee.
And something to drink. Maybe a Sprite.
Okay.
Something that has a little bit more fizz than that, maybe.
It's Oktoberfest, yeah.
Time to adjourn the meeting.
Time to adjourn.
Standards are not old enough, so we can't have that.
Okay. 6:55, we adjourn.
Thank you. All right.
Everyone have a wonderful evening.
Wait a minute.
Jump off.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm. 6:55 meeting adjourned.